Josh Lewenberg. Congrats on this. Really well done, buddy.
Thanks, Brian. I'm sorry I didn't give you more of a heads up. It's not a short piece, as I'm sure you noticed, and people will notice. Initially, it was 5,000 words, and my editor was not so happy to see all 5,000 words, so he cut it down a little bit. It's the type of subject I could have gone on about for 10,000 words, but I'm not sure how readable that would have been.
Yeah, this was nostalgic for me. It was like high school when you're like cramming for an exam 5 minutes before. Like I was reading, like 3:55, I was wrapping up the piece because it had just come across the wire. But, you know, it really details what DeRozan felt originally when he was drafted by the Raptors, how ignorant he was to Toronto and Canada. Like you said in the piece, he didn't have a passport. He wasn't well-traveled. He was a young guy. He was 19 years old. I never knew that he bought a place in Mississauga, let alone a place for his parents. Like, was that common knowledge? I don't remember that.
No. I found out about it while writing this piece. And, I mean, obviously, given how expensive it is to buy a home in this city or around this city, to buy two of them, that speaks to his dedication and his commitment to the city, if nothing else.
Right. And Mississauga. He's a Hazel McCallion fan, I guess. Jumps on board with
ways
that.
Ways out.
Yeah. What else did you learn, though, detailing that? I mean, you talked to DeRozan, you talked to other people connected to him. What kind of stood out to you while you were trying to write this piece?
Well, I think it explains a lot. And we knew a lot about this stuff and how DeMar felt about Toronto. But I think there was this surprise over the summer, myself included, when the trade went down and we all saw how personally DeMar took it. Because it was weird. I mean, players get traded all the time, and very rarely do you see a player take it so personally. So you're thinking, okay, well, why is this so personal to him? But in order to understand that, in order to understand why things happened the way they did, I think you have to understand DeRozan first, who he is as a person. And that's what I wrote in the piece, is you've got to look not only at his history, but his DNA, the type of person he is. And that's what I think made him so unique, especially in the context of professional sports. Like, we all talk about loyalty in this business and whether it exists. It doesn't really exist anymore, at least not unless it's convenient for both the team and the player, and then all of a sudden loyalty is not a big deal. It was always a big deal to DeMar. He literally has the word tattooed on his left hand. So to come in, you mentioned it, he didn't know anything about the city. It didn't take long for him to learn the history of it in terms of all the stars that came before him and either left or forced their way out at or close to their first opportunity. So he knew about that. Vince Carter, Chris Bosh, Damon Stoudemire, Tracy McGrady, all of that. But that didn't scare him away like it would a lot of other people. Because of that loyalty, I think he said, he told me, he thought at the time, this team, this city took a chance on me, so I owe it to them to give them a chance, to return the favor. So I think that's what allowed him to sort of open up his mind to a situation that he wasn't used to at all. He was very much a fish out of water in those early years. But I think the more he embraced Toronto, the more Toronto embraced him. And in today's NBA or in pro sports in general, with all the player movement and how rare it is to find those connections between player and team, I think that more than anything explains why things were so personal for him.
Josh, to your knowledge, how dirty in DeMar's mind was the exchange in the summertime? Was it a day before he was told we're never going to trade you, and the next morning he was told he was traded? What about that exchange? Apparently it was awful, or he thought it was awful. What do you know about that and what he thinks of it?
There's mixed information out there on what actually happened. I've heard things from both parties that are completely different. I think the general idea from DeRozan's side of things is that he was misled, is that he was led to believe that nothing had changed. The plan was still for DeRozan to, at the very least, play out his contract here in Toronto. It was a 5-year contract when he signed it back in 2016. And then, of course, he made it very clear that he wanted to spend his career here. Just because that's what he wants doesn't mean that's the way things play out. But I think he was sort of blindsided by the trade. I've heard from the team side of things that the conversation that took place between DeMar and Masai Ujiri was a casual one. It wasn't like a sit-down meeting or anything, and that no promises were made, that it was simply, and I think Masai has gone on record as saying that the conversation was just about what they wanted him to improve at, to get better at and change for the next season. And perhaps DeMar took that to mean that, okay, you're going to be around next season. So there's a bit of mixed information out there, and that, I imagine, led to a lot of the hurt feelings. But like I said, I think they would have been there anyways. I think at that point, being moved, being blindsided, not expecting it, having to leave the city that you spent 9 years in, that you love, the fans that you love, and have to start from scratch, especially as I detailed DeRozan being the type of person that he is, I think that would have been hard for him no matter what.
With Josh Lewenberg, his new piece up on TSN.ca entitled DeRozan's Bond with Toronto Runs Much Deeper Than Basketball. And for the rest of his career and life, he'll be connected to Masai Ujiri and Kawhi Leonard. Masai orchestrated the trade, and Kawhi was the piece coming back. And you also included, you know, what DeRozan was aware of in terms of his initial impressions of the Raptors and star players that eventually left. And he witnessed that firsthand his first year. Chris Bosh was still here, his rookie campaign. And at the end of his rookie campaign, Bosh took off and took his talents down to Miami. And Chris was on the Bill Simmons podcast a week ago and was speaking about his experiences up in Toronto, really complaining about them, customs and, you know, no cable, the standard procedure that we always hear and we've always kind of been
customs
insecure about.
Is tough.
But it's the only team.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're in the States, there's no customs.
Yeah.
You're off the bird and you're gone, so it's a reality. Masai was asked to comment on what Bosh had to say yesterday on ESPN Radio, and here's what Masai Ujiri said.
It's not where we are today, and he decided to go somewhere to play third fiddle. You know, to me, if Chris was on our team now, he would be attracting another, he would want to attract another person, you know, like to come play with him, because the fan base, the culture, the winning, the city, all those things would come together.
So for me, when Masai took over this gig, he had two challenges. He wants to win a title. He's put them in a good position to do that. And he wants to change the perception of the team. Bosh took a serious run at that. You can tell he took it personally. But he's gambled here because DeRozan was feeding into the idea that the perception had changed. DeMar loved it here. He wanted to spend the rest of his career. He got flipped for a guy. We have no idea what's going to happen with Kawhi. What do you make of Masai's comments and how all of these storylines kind of intertwine?
Well, he's right. The perception has changed. But why has it changed? The biggest reason why it's changed is the guy that wore number 10 here for 9 years. And to a lesser extent, the guy that wears number 7. I don't mean Andrea Bargnani. Kyle Lowry, to a lesser extent, changed that perception because he stayed too. But DeMar was the first guy that really wore it and wore it with pride. We've been talking so much over these last few years as the Vince Carter reunion tour has happened and happened again and happened again, and we talk about how much he's done for the Raptors organization. I'm not sure that this is going to be a popular opinion, but DeMar DeRozan has done way more for the Raptors organization, for the franchise, than Vince Carter ever did. We talk about all the stars that left. Vince Carter was the biggest of those stars. He was one of the first guys. So, yeah, Raptors fans, they've got a chip on their shoulder, understandably so, because of all the guys that they've watched walk out the door. And Vince was the guy that put that chip on the shoulder. DeMar was the guy that I think really changed the tide. And now we're seeing other guys doing it. Masai Ujiri has had a lot to do with it. And Dwayne Casey, there's enough credit to go around. But DeMar, I think that's one of the reasons why the city embraced him and embraces him the way that they did, because he did something and was something that no Toronto Raptor before him had ever been. He was a proud Toronto Raptors all-star.
Great piece, buddy. Again, it's up on TSN.ca. Enjoy it Friday night. It should be a great buzz in the building, and we'll see what happens when DeRozan rolls back through town.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Here's Josh Lewenberg, our Raptors reporter.